I believe 2 weeks ago, while I was enjoying the warmth of Thailand, that most of you received one of these pamphlets, booklets. If you didn't, this is concerning our month of prayer and self-denial. So if you didn't receive one, there are a few left, and I encourage you, please, to take the opportunity to get one at the end of the service today. Some of you may already be aware that the theme of the first main subject in the self-denial time is, I need to be reminded, the gospel is treasure. And today our focus is on that people are treasure. Now, earlier in the service, right at the beginning, we watched a short video on Paul and Sarah and their children who work in South Asia in this loyal workshop business, which makes high quality satchels and bags. And you can look on the web or ask in the office if you want to consider buying their good materials. But why do Paul and Sarah do this work? They live in a crowded city and it's very hot. I've been reminded of that being in Thailand the last few weeks. Why do they go out of their way to provide employment for women who have been in the sex trade? For women who have been treated like commodities, objects, things? And as the video explained, all men and all women are made in the image of God, and every person is a treasure of God. So as we begin to think a bit more about this, we will think first of all about, we'll start from the beginning, we'll start from Genesis chapter 1. And a summary of Genesis chapter 1 could be perhaps very briefly, in the beginning, God. There was absolutely nothing else. No one else. God exists eternally and is the self-sustaining one. Everything else and every person and animal, every aspect of creation, God made from nothing, and God sustains for the life of that world, animal, or whatever. And then Genesis 1 tells us a little more of the detail of creation. The creation of the planets and the stars and the trees and plants and so on, animals. And then at the last stage of creation, God created the pinnacle of his creation, humankind, men and women. So in verse 26, we are told, God said, let us make humankind in our image after our likeness. Interesting that God says, let us, the royal we. And we believe too that that refers to the fact that God is one and yet there are three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But God says, we will make humankind in our image after our likeness. So, moving on to the next slide, what do we have? We have perhaps a slightly poor photo of both sides of a $2 coin. Somebody can have it if I forget to collect it at the end of the service. Now, what do we see on the gold coin, as we call it? We see the image of the queen. And I wonder if anyone actually knows what the bird on the back is. The white heron, all right? It's not a shag, for instance, which I tend to think of. Anyway, the main point is, do we see the queen on this coin? Hands up those who see the queen on this coin. Does that mean you're asleep or? Okay. Hands up those who definitely don't see the queen on this coin. This is a trick question, I confess. Thank you, brother. That is not the queen. The queen is a living person who walks, talks, and all the rest of it. It is simply the likeness of the queen. All right? It's well worth thinking through carefully. Now, if we could move on to the next photo, and forgive me for putting up the photo of Maybeth and myself. And when we look at a photo, we tend to say, oh, that's Maybeth, that's Ian. Rubbish. It is a likeness of him. If the power, don't flick the switch, but if the power cut off this instant, Ian wouldn't disappear. The photo, the likeness would disappear. But the real Ian is here, not the one up there. All right? And I want to bring that out because just to emphasize that we are of huge value to God, but don't let us get too swelled ahead. The real God is at a totally different level, just as the real Ian, I hope, is at a totally different level than that image you see on the screen. We are made in the likeness of God. We are of great value to God, a treasure, but we are, and we have, in comparison to the rest of the congregation, the rest of creation, great abilities. But God, Almighty Living God, is in a totally different realm again than we as the image and likeness of God. And we are totally dependent on God. We as a likeness only have meaning as we relate to God and reflect God. Of course, it is God's desire that when people see us, we will show the likeness of God. People will gain an understanding of who God is, what He is like. But we are certainly at a totally different level to the Almighty Living God. Now, having said that, to keep us in perspective, to emphasize our dependence on God, at the same time, as we've already said many times, God's love and care for us is at a totally different level to everything else. When you read in Genesis 1, God created day and night, and God saw, and it was good. And then He created trees and plants and all that and everything else, animals, and each stage God saw that it was. And then when God created man, the completion of His creation, God saw that it was
very good.
Thank you. we need to soak that in. God's desire that we be in his likeness so that he can relate to us, enjoy us, and we can enjoy him. Now, let's move on to another slide. A little more about being in the image of God. God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the cattle, the earth, and over all the creatures." God gave us an authority to a certain level to control and use this universe, just as he gave us an authority and purpose to care for and cultivate and care for our environment. And chapter 2 gives us one or two other basics about human life. Chapter 2 talks about rules. You can eat of this, but you can't eat of that, and so on. And if we are made in the likeness of God, the image of God, it's so that we can live according to God's law, God's commandments. And also, of course, he talks about the basic issue of men, women, male, female, marriage, sex, and so on. I'd like to mention one other aspect of the image of God that perhaps from the background of most of us doesn't seem too relevant, but it is very relevant for our Baptist missionaries and Transcend people. That having lived in Thailand, a common phrase was that man is a precious animal. Now, we know today, obviously, our body has some similarities with higher animals. But to talk about man as a precious animal is completely missing the glory and the value that God intended in making us in his likeness. Living in Thailand is living in a Buddhist culture. Most of our BMS missionaries are either living in Buddhist cultures or Hindu cultures. There is a fundamental similarity there because both cultures strongly believe in reincarnation. And so there's across the whole work of the New Zealand Baptist Mission Society today, there is a very common thread of Hinduism or Buddhism. But man, our message is the gospel as treasure is that we are not just a precious animal. We are not just able to manage our own world, but we are to be in the likeness of God. Now, of course, we know as we look in the as we hear the news and so on, the world is in chaos. We are aware that we are fallen creatures. We are sinful. Genesis chapter 3, Genesis 1 to 11 give us basically all the fundamental issues we need to know about in this world. And Genesis 3 talks about how man disobeyed God, rebelled against God, and how the world, as well as we as humankind, became twisted. God's image and likeness was spoiled and ruined, and severely so. Not entirely, but severely so. And just look at the news and the evidence is there. We can so easily talk about sin and the fact that we do things wrong that it seems just a small thing. But it is the deep, fundamental issue of our world, that sin is not just a little thing, but it has completely twisted us and our image of God, and it has twisted our world as a whole. What God intended for good and what we are capable of doing is now used to hurt, harm, destroy. We can speak kind words, caring words to people. We can also speak words that absolutely rip people apart, rip our society apart, rip our families apart. I don't think I need to go on long about that. On Thursday, when I was preparing for this morning, I noticed how many articles there were on the website I normally look at for the news about things like racism, inequality in our society, the issue of euthanasia, which is a big issue right now, articles saying we are failing our children, articles stating that New Zealand has the highest suicide rate in the world for 15 to 19-year-olds. God's heart, as he watches our world, is desperately sorrowful. We are of immense value in his eyes, in his heart and mind, but we are so marred and twisted. In an average week, two young people kill themselves, and 20 young people are hospitalized for self-harm. We were made in the image of God. We need to teach and bring people to know God, who sees great value in us. And if, as been mentioned two or three times in the service today, if you're feeling downhearted, dispirited, hopeless today, the word of God is that you were made in God's image. And God wants each of us to be restored, to be the likeness that he intended. I don't think for most of you I need to speak at length about the meaning of the cross. By the way, in the articles I was reading on Thursday, I noted one article that said something like this: we've created what we have, that is the problems of our society. Now it's up to us to create what we want. Brave words, but they're not the truth. Sadly, we're going to hear more and more and more of this in the next 100 or 90-something days before the parliamentary elections. The answer to our problems, of course, is not political. The answer is Jesus. What a wonderful name. What a beautiful name. Jesus' death speaks of the fact that God saw our value so highly and our situation so desperately that God came and died for us. So if we call ourselves Christians, if we believe we are following Jesus, we need to ask ourselves, to what extent has the image of God been restored in us Because God wants to bring every twisted version of his likeness, every person, to know him and be restored and to move beyond what God originally, where God originally placed us in the garden, so that at the end of time we will be in the new heaven and the new earth. And it's interesting that we were kicked out of the first garden because of our sin, and we were kicked out so that we wouldn't eat of the tree of life. But when you come to the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation, and particularly the last chapter, there's not just one tree of life, there are umpteen of them by the river. And we will live in God's glory forever. So, do people see more and more in us who God is, the likeness of God himself? Do our neighbors and our work people or our schoolmates and so on see God in us? And what about our attitude to other people? Are other people around us just objectionable, competitors, even enemies? These are people who are the treasure of God. What is our attitude to what we read in the papers? Terrorism, plenty of it, and largely Muslim at the moment. So what's our attitude to Muslims? Every Muslim person and every extremist is a twisted, like us, damaged version of the likeness of God. And he desires that these people will know him in Jesus. Our attitude must be the attitude of Jesus. Not guns and political solutions and war. Jesus was willing to die for us. That is the Christian attitude. Not the fighting, not the viewing of others as enemies or competition, but being willing to die for others. That's true of people who persecute Christians, not just Muslims today, Hindu extremists, secular people. The world seems to be closing in. The extent of persecution seems greater and greater. Are we going to become fearful? Could we have the next slide, please? I think that fear is one of the biggest problems of the Western Christian world. And I'd like to remind you of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So often, we react in fear to other people. We need to ask God to so make us to be in his likeness that the fear is gone and we can front to people and relate to people with courage, honesty, and openness and fairness. Now, surely all of us need to ask God to rebuild us in his image, to give us his power and love and self-control, and to be willing, even to the extent of dying for others rather than fighting others. Now, I want to give you two or three other quotes. Could we look at the first one, please? Many of you have read books by Bill Johnson. There's something about valuing people, not because they value you, but because you can see God in them. And that, of course, is shown by Jesus on the cross. Could we also look at another slide? People do not accept your religion because you destroyed their religion. They accept your religion because you lift up Jesus and you are like Jesus. God does. Oh, by the way, can I just say quickly? Paul is an example of what God can do. Paul was a terrorist to the church in the very earliest days. And yet Paul's life was so transformed that he wrote a large section of the New Testament and was absolutely crucial under God in the development of the church from the earliest days right through to now. Pray for Muslim extremists, for other extremists. Pray for people who you naturally want to hate. Under God by His Spirit, pray for them and ask for God's love for them. So, every person is a treasure of God that God wants to redeem and restore. The work of the Baptist Mission Society, as illustrated by the video we saw, and most of the work of the Baptist Mission Society today, happens to be directed at the very needy, those who are in relative slavery, in many different ways. We need to pray for that work. Can I at the same time point out, God is concerned for the rich and powerful just as much as for the needy and oppressed. And God's concern is for all. I trust that as you consider the information you get in this period of self-denial, that God will renew and strengthen in you His desire for every man and woman in this world to see Him, to see God, and to depend on Him and know the glory that God has prepared for us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of being Your people. We ask that You will mold us and make us to be more and more like You, that people will see Your likeness in us. And we pray that we may so depend on You and be so controlled by Your Spirit that it is not our human way of, our twisted way of thinking, but Your love and Your values that control our reaction to everyone about us. We pray for Your people, the work of Transcend and the Mission Society, and we pray for each of our members as they work for You today, that they may know Your presence and Your strength. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Wow, lots of messages this morning. Russell's asked that every week during self-denial, that we sing the song, follow you, I will follow you. That's what Jesus said.